Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jonathan Ritter with Wake Up America Church Ministries. Hope you guys are having a wonderful week. And tonight is Wednesday night. And if you guys are following this preaching slash teaching series on discipleship, well, thanks. And hopefully it's enlightening. Hopefully there's topics that you may have not heard before. Of course, the first four parts are dealing with salvation. Salvation is very important to understand. We need to understand that this gift is free. And that's available to all. And we cannot do nothing in ourselves to earn it. It is a gift from God. God done all the work. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to be born of a virgin, to live among us a life that was perfect and sinless. He was that sinless lamb that take away the sins of the world. His birth, death, resurrection is critical to salvation. It's all in Jesus Christ, for by grace are we saved through faith. It's that grace and that mercy that we see in God and His Son. It is a gift. And of course, we know that Holy Spirit comes, and when we accept Him into our hearts, He will comfort us and He will give us peace that we can, that surpasses all understanding. And if you guys have not looked at the four parts of this sermon series, sermon preaching teaching series, I encourage you guys to go back and listen to part one and listen to part two and three and four. We looked at sin, repentance, belief, faith, justification, sanctification, regeneration, Holy Spirit. All this is intertwined within salvation. You will not get the watered down version that you will get in most churches today. They're feeding their congregation watered down version of salvation, that you don't have to be changed, that sin is okay, you can live in your sin. No, we are supposed to be separate. We're not supposed to be of this world, but we're in this world. Our lives is supposed to be a reflection of the change that occurred in us when we come into the kingdom of God. And there's many people within the church that have not truly surrendered their lives to Jesus. And tonight, in this section, when we come to Christ, now we are children of God, and we are now disciples for Jesus. No, salvation is not separate from discipleship. If you do not want to be a disciple, then you're not His. You are of the devil. You have a church that preaches this heresy that you can be a child of God and not a disciple. They are preaching against what Jesus tells us. And tonight we're going to look at discipleship. We'll be in Luke 9. We're going to read verse 57 through 62. That's Luke 9, 57 through 62. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thee and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid thee farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said, no man, having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. As you guys bow with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come tonight. Thanking you for the opportunity, Lord, to do this series, Lord. I pray that you be with me, you humble my spirit, you forgive me where I failed you through this week. You give me the strength and the words that you need me to say to whoever is out there that needs to hear these words, Lord. I pray that you, the Holy Spirit, moves and it reaches out to whoever hears this. You know what's going on in their lives. You know who will hear this. We know that you are in control. We know through all this chaos and struggles of this life, you are our only hope, Lord. You are our only hope. Lord, I pray that you once again just be with us in this study. And you guide and you direct this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So we got Luke here. Luke 9. When we look at verse 57 through 58, it goes like this. It came to pass, as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whitherso thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man have no place to lay his head, nowhere to lay his head. To put it this way, do you want to be homeless? Whoa, wait a minute. Homeless? Nobody said anything about being homeless when they said, come to me and accept Jesus into your life. It'll be the best thing you ever do. Yes, I agree. It is the best thing you do. But you probably should warn that poor person what the cost is. Do you want to be homeless? Not what I'm saying, but what the Word of God says. What Jesus is saying, we have half-truths. We have a watered-down gospel that's infected America. Jesus said, foxes have holes. They have a home, right? The birds flying around in the air. I don't know if you guys like watching animals, but I enjoy just sitting around and when I'm outside and watching animals. And you watch birds and they fly. They're not worrying about anything. They're making their nests. They have a place to lay their head or to sleep. Thank God that He cares for the animals. But as a disciple standing for the truth, it could cost you your home. It can cost you your comfort. If you're at home right now and you still have a physical home that's warm when it's cold outside. And it's, when it's cold outside, it's warm. Or when it's cold outside, it's warm. Vice versa, right? You have that AC unit. And in Louisiana, it gets really hot out here. So thank God for the AC unit. It heats your house. But what if that is removed? What will you do? Would you still be comfortable? What if that house is removed in exchange for a jail cell or a prison? That could happen. Are you still going to be in, all in, following Jesus regardless, even if you were homeless, even if you were in prison? You see, the way the American Christianity is sold today is this false Christianity that wants to bypass the cost. Many churches are living lies. They believe living a life as a Christian is easy, fun, no cost. You're walking on cloud nine. You'll have the best life now and the next. And a truth that is, depending on how you look at best life. Here's how true Christianity should be viewed. Your best life on earth. James 1, verse 2 through 4. My brother, count it all joy when you fall in divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying your faith work patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect in entirety, wanting nothing. Count it all joy. Do the math. When you fall in that divers as many temptations in this contents is trials. Thank God for those trials. That is that joy you should have as Jesus over you, because this trial will grow you into what Jesus needs you to be. Amen. You know, when we look at Job, and I encourage you guys to study that book, and you see what Job went through. God put him through that. There's no sugarcoating. God put him through that. How can a loving God do that? Because he knows you can take it. He knows you'll be stronger when you come out of that trial. See, without trials, we don't grow. When we get comfortable, we don't grow. It's through those challenges. It's through those chaos. It's through the pain that we grow. And man, if you look at Jesus' life, he says here he has no place to lay his head. Even the animals have it better. He understood the cost. And he modeled that throughout the gospel, that cost. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then you can look at Paul's life. And then go over there at Job and look at Job. Man, look at Daniel. Thrown in that lion's den. Could have been mauled to death. Many trials. When we go through these trials, according to James 1, verse 3, knowing this, that trying your faith work patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect in entirety, wanting nothing. Because what? Wanting nothing, because we will be satisfied in our position with Jesus. Can you say that you're satisfied with your position in Jesus right now? Keep the joy. Matthew 5:11 says this, blessed are ye when men shall revile you, persecute, and say all kind of evil against you falsely for my sake. Oh, how we want to avoid that persecution in our life. How we be quiet. Oh, I'm not going to say this because this may happen. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of you. You can't be his disciple. Therefore, you can't be his child. You are a bastard. According to the scriptures, you're not his. We're coming in a time in America where it's going to cost us something. It will cost us something in America to profess the name of Jesus. The line is drawn in the sand. If you're faking Christianity, you lukewarm in Christianity. And if you lukewarm according to scripture and you're hot or cold, Jesus will spew you out. He'll vomit you out of your mouth. He don't deal with lukewarm. You've been faking. Oh, how he does not like people that fake. Oh, I'm going to hide. Oh, I'm so sad. Boo-hoo, suck it up. Bless are ye. Bless are us when we're persecuted and reviled. Amen. Acts 5:12-42 says this. Acts 5:12-42 says this. And by the hands of the apostle were made signs and wonders walk among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And the rest thus no man joined himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitude both of men and women. And so much they brought forth the sick into the streets, laid them on the beds and the couches, at least the shadow of Peter passing by overshadowed some of them. And then came also a multitude of the cities around about Jerusalem, bringing sick folk, them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Then the high priest rose up, They weren't happy, guys. And all they were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees. And they were filled with indignation. And they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison door, brought them forth and said, go stand, speak in the temple to the people all the words of life. And when they heard they were entering the temple early in the morning, taught by the high priest came. And they were with him called the council together. And all the sentence of the children of Israel sent it to the prison have them brought. And when the officer came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found me shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when it opened, we found no man within. They were astonished. What happened? And when the high priest and the captain and of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted them whereunto this would grow. And they came one and told them, saying, behold, the man whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. They were thrown in prison, but it didn't stop them. They kept pressing on. And when the captain with the officer brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, did we straightly command you that you shall not teach of the name, this name? Behold, you fill Jerusalem with your doctrine, intend to bring this man's blood upon us. And then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Where are our people out there saying we should be out there? We should obey God than man. No, let's close our churches because the government tells us to. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. And the God of our fathers raised up Jesus whom ye slayed and hung on the tree. Peter is telling the truth here. Him have God exalt with his right hand to be the prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. And we are his witness of these things. So is also the Holy Ghost, which God hath given to them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood there up on the council the Pharisees named Galilee, a doctor of law in reputation among all the people, commanded to put the apostles for a little space. And he said unto ye men of Israel, take heed to yourself what ye intend to do as touching these men. They wanted to kill these apostles. Before these days rose up, Thaddeus boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. It was stopped. After this man rose up, Judas a Galilean, in the days of taxing drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all even as many as obey him were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, let them alone, for the counsel or this work be of man, it will come to naught. And but if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it. Least harply ye found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed, and they all had called the apostles, and of course they had to beat them. And they command that they should not speak in the name of Jesus. Let them go. And they depart from the presence of the council rejoicing. They were rejoicing here. This is what it means to be a disciple. Rejoicing they were count worthy to suffer the shame for his name. And daily in the temple and every house they ceased not. They did not stop to teach and preach Jesus Christ. That is discipleship. Keep pressing on. Do not give up. Regardless what they may tell us to do, we need to keep pressing on. That is discipleship. That is true discipleship. Whatever the cost may be. You may to come back and reflect on that. Are you willing? Or have you counted the cost? Well, I really like this heaven thing you guys talk about. You know, where there will be no more sorrow, no more pain. And man, that sounds really good. But man, I just want to keep sinning here. No, I don't want to open my mouth about Jesus at work or at school. You know, I'm just going to be quiet. I'm going to hide over here. And you know, the Holy Spirit's not grieving you. You may need to check yourself. there's a good chance that you're not even a child of God. That's between you and God. I'm just a messenger to call out to whoever will hear from the sound of my voice. I'm nobody but a messenger crying out into America, especially churches. Wake up! Wake up! We get to the second part. This other guy here. And he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thee and preach through and preach the kingdom of God. We need to get a little context here, guys. This man's father was not dead yet. He was saying, well, you see, my father's not dead yet. So once he dies, I will follow you. We don't know the age of his father. And we don't know how long he would have lived. But you see, this was an excuse. He did not want to accept the true calling of salvation. He did not want to choose the true calling of discipleship. Salvation, discipleship goes together. They're not separate. If you do not want to be a disciple of Jesus, you're not his. That is really kind of the overall theme tonight that you need to get. We can make all the excuses in the world to not live for Jesus and not to be his, to follow him truly. Matthew 16, 24 through 26 says this, then said Jesus unto the disciples, if any man come after me, let him deny himself. Deny himself. And take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profit? He shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Many people are given the exchange to this world for the comforts of this world. And yes, many will call themselves Christians. And they will muddy that name to their grave that leads to everlasting damnation. Jesus said, you cannot be my disciple. You have to deny yourself. And you have to take up his cross and follow me. Deny yourself. What does that mean? 1 Corinthians 15:31 says, I protest by rejoicing which I have in having Christ Jesus, O Lord, I have died daily. We have to die daily. Here's Paul. And you may not know too much about Paul's conversion. I encourage you to go check that on the Acts. But Paul was a persecutor of the saints. And he was an enemy to the cross. And he had that come to Jesus moment on that road to Damascus. And he was struck blind. And he received his sight. I believe that time he also received his calling. And he became a man of God. And this was a real man of God. Not all these imposters that you have in the pulpits today. Claiming to be something they're not. And their life is not a reflection of that. They will be judged more harshly than they could imagine. They don't live a double life. They're not double agents. They don't look like something on Sunday and sound and act totally Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday is something different. We need to call them out. They ain't going to want to hear the message that they're needed men in to come and to proclaim that message. What would you say? Are you dying daily? Are you dying to make more money so you can have more comfort in your life? Are you dying at work? You want that promotion, so you do whatever you have to, lie still and destroy. Sounds like Satan to me. Your hand in motion. You're an agent of Satan, not of God. You skip your daily devotions to the Lord. Your prayer life is suffering. Your Bible reading, you don't care to read your Bible. Die daily. Paul had to die daily. We have a dual nature. And Paul was very aware of this. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3 says this, "And I, brother, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, as fleshly, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear. Whither ye not, ye are able, for ye are yet carnal, you're fleshly, for as there is among you in me, strive, division. Are ye not carnal? Walk as men." That dual nature. You see, our life is a daily dying to self. Not because we can. It's because when we truly are His, we have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will guide us. It will direct us. It will correct us. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God for His guidance. Lord, I know I need it daily. I know my flesh. And I do what Paul says. You have to beat your flesh in submission. You have to die daily. We have that flesh and that spirit. Galatians 5:16 through 26 says this. "And this say then, walk in the Spirit, and yet shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one or the other, so you cannot do the things that ye would. But ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are this, and that's the carnal nature, where these are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, drunkenness." Oh, I skipped a few. "Idolatry, witchcraft, hate, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, reviling, such as which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." This is the word of God saying they will not inherit the kingdom of God. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentle, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are of Christ have crucified the flesh." There is crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lusts. "We live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not desire of vainglory, provoking one another, envy to one another." We can have excuses, guys. We can have them all in the world, and God can see straight through all those excuses. He's seen through this guy's excuse. He said, "Let the dead bury the dead, but go preach the kingdom of God." We understand our dual nature, and we understand that we cannot do it on our own. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. And we know there should be an urgency in our heart as a disciple. Once again, a child of God is a disciple. So every child of God should have that desire to go out there and to preach the gospel. That is the birth, the death, and the resurrection. And that is in all the other components that we talked about in part 1, 2, 3 and 4. We need to learn those scriptures. We need to memorize those scriptures and be able to, whoever we encounter, to expound the gospel to them. "Oh, that's too much work. I don't have time." Okay, then don't be His disciple. You have that option. You don't want to do that? You want to go to hell? Have at it. That's your choice. You may still choose to do that and still slap that Christianity on your belt. Good. That ain't going to do nothing when you die. And you look at Him and He says to you, "Depart me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. I don't care what you've been doing, what you've been calling yourself. You are not my disciple. You are a disciple of Satan." And we know in Matthew 7, it's very clear. That will happen to a lot of people. A lot of them are got that Christianity title on. Very proud of it. Think they're really knowledgeable. I'm tell you, I never will be enough knowledgeable. If I could memorize the whole Bible word by word without opening, I still would not understand. I will still be learning to the very end. And not many people can say, oh, I can even memorize a chapter. That's too much work. There's something wrong with your heart. You need to examine it. The last guy here, verse 61 says, another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Another excuse, right? This guy's saying, hey, Jesus, you know, it's not really a good time for my life. You know, all this discipleship stuff, you know. Let me live my life, you know. Let me work at work and get these promotions and get this nice house and car. You know, it's just this little bit, the cost is just a little bit too much. I'll give to the church tithes and all that, but my time is just too precious. I'll follow you when I have time. Jesus said, that ain't gonna work. That ain't gonna work. I want it all or none. He said, when a man pushes a plow, I don't know if you guys know too much about plow. You can go on the internet and search pictures of plows. You can look at videos. You know, plow is used to loosen the ground. You loosen that ground to plant seeds. And you keep looking straight because you want to plow a straight line. But when you start looking back, you start zigzagging. And you're all over the place. And this is not the proper way to plow. As a life, as a follower of Jesus, a true disciple, our eyes have to be on Jesus. Wherever is going on, our eyes need to be firmly fixed on God and His will and His purpose for our life. Oh, how our eyes want to be fixated on our purpose and our will in our life. Oh, I worked at this job for 20 years. I'm a manager. I'm making all this money. God say, no, now it's time for you to get rid of all of it and go to this church and preach the gospel. Where it may look like, and that's kind of extreme, right? But we got to be in tune with the Word of God and His will and His purpose. We have to keep our eyes firmly planted on Jesus Christ. Paul understood this. Philippians 3:13-14. But I count not myself to apprehend. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. He said, those things behind, I forgot about them. And reaching forth unto those which are before. And I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. Our in Christ Jesus. You got to get the full picture. You got to understand your will, your purpose, your goals in this life may not be God's. I know I've told my story a few times. I never thought I would be preaching. I was going to school, working on a master's in psychology. Was going to eventually lead to a PhD. And my goal was to teach at a college. Maybe get tenure and have this comfort, write research papers, maybe a book, get some publications, have a, you know, family and kids and vacations and all that comfortableness. Well, God had a different story. Now I'm proclaiming the gospel, and especially in a time where it could literally, I could get thrown in jail for that. That's extreme, right? When I was beside myself, looking at everything and seeking God, I didn't fool myself about the cost. I know many people do. When I expound the gospel, I include the cost. Because I'd rather have one person truly understand what the cost is. You want to be homeless? You might not want to be homeless, but you could lead to homeless. Will you be okay with that? If it's only you and Jesus and you're on the street like a homeless person, just with the rain coming down your head and it's cold and you're shivering and you're praying for shelter. Will you be okay with that? We need perspective, guys. See, as a disciple, as a child of God, we have the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 12:6-11 says this: For whom Lord love, he chastens and scourge every son whom he receive. I don't know if you know much about scourging. You can Google it up. It's brutal. If you endure chastening, God dealt with you as with sons. For what son is whom the father chastens not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards. You're not his sons or daughters. Father, when we have our father of our flesh, we correct us, we give them reverence. Shall we not be much rather be subject unto the father of spirits and law of life? For they vary for a few days, chasten us after their own pleasure. But for he are our prophet, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Nail not chasten for the present seem to be joyous, but grievous. He don't take no pleasure in correcting us. Nevertheless, after we yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness in which we are exercised thereby. Thank God for chastisement. Them whoopings. And those beatings, I can understand this because I'm stubborn and I need to be beat in submission. I can get my mind so firmly on something and God has to correct me. And thank God for his correction. Thank God because of his love. It's, how can a loving God beat you? I don't know if you have children, you know, in this day and time. The world tells you not to whoop your child. And it's sad. But if you're a good parent, you know you need to whoop your child when they misbehave. At that time, do you think your child is looking at you like that's love and you're the best thing in the world? No! That child don't understand why he or she's getting corrected. You love them, so you correct them. God loves us, so he corrects us. Some of us need more whooping than others. And I'm one of those individuals. I need whippings. When we look at this guy, it was an excuse. He did not want to give his life up to follow Jesus. We have to give our life up. It's no longer our life. It is what Jesus can do with a little life that we have left in us. As closing tonight, guys, I want to really hammer this home. Salvation, child of God, discipleship, they go together. They are not separate. A lot of people want to take that out of it because they understand it don't sell. In a day and age, people do not want to suffer or count the cost for anything. They want it as easy as they can get it. And that has infected the church beyond what I could express. Salvation, discipleship, they go together. A true disciple, a true follower of Jesus will understand the cost in coming into the kingdom of God. It may cost them everything. I can guarantee it will cost them something. But it may cost them more than what they can imagine. It could cost you your life, like a home and a career. It could cost you some of your family members. They will look at you like you lost your mind. You know, I think of it as the days of Noah. You can see Noah out there building that boat with his children and his wife, and they're just looking at him. He lost his mind. They will look at preachers like me and others, I hope, as we've lost our mind. Can't you be a child of God and not have to do the discipleship? No, not according to my words. It's because what Jesus says. He tells us we have to deny ourselves. We have to take up His cross. His cross. It's nothing what we can do. It's what Jesus does through us. And follow Him to the very end. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. We die to ourselves. We die to that carnal nature daily. We surrender our life daily, picking up that cross that He has laid down for us, not on our own strength, but what Jesus does through us, knowing that we have to crucify the flesh. The Holy Spirit does that for us. To know that we are supposed to walk more in the Spirit and less in the flesh. That our love, and it's not that love that the world views as love, it's distorted. When we start trying to put our mind around our love and how we love our family and this, we don't get the love that God has for us. It's beyond definition most of the time. And that long-suffering, that is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, long-suffering. That goodness and gentleness. That peace, that joy, that meekness, that temperance, that faith, those are the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Those are manifested in His disciples and His children, which are together. They're not separate. You can try to make every excuse in the world, and you're not hurting nobody except yourself. You may not speak them out loud. It may be something that you're thinking, but God hears it. You may be a fool, your pastor, your Bible teacher. Maybe the pastor's trying to fool the congregation. Maybe the Bible teacher's trying to fool the congregation. You got people in the congregation not studying their Bible, so they are fooled. But I'm telling you, all will be revealed in the end, and you're just hurting yourself. Repent of that falsehood. Repent of that lukewarmness. Come to the true fold of Jesus Christ. Truly become a disciple. Say, I have counted the cost. Regardless what it may cost, I will follow you to the end. Can you say that tonight? Can you say, with no doubt, I will give it all to you, Jesus? That is a true disciple of Jesus. That will give it all to the very end. Those that persevere to the end, they will be saved. As you guys bow with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the opportunity, Lord, just to go through this message tonight. I pray that it reaches whoever it needs to reach. I know it will. Maybe it's just one person. It don't matter. One person is precious to you. Of course, my heart desire for it to reach thousands and thousands. But within that thousand, maybe a few will truly listen. They may listen to this message tonight and say, nah, this guy's crazy. Even though ample scripture was provided. More of you and less of me. Let the scriptures speak for themselves. I'm just a warner. A man screaming out into whatever means is necessary to reach those within the church and away from the church. Lord, I pray you be with those tonight. I was listening to this. I don't know what's going on in their lives. All I know is, you know. I don't know. You know the financial loss. You know the broken marriage. You know the sexual morality. You know their hearts. You know the sickness. You know the sorrow. Lord, I pray that you be with them tonight. Maybe this message has struck a chord with them. I don't know. Lord, I pray they go back over and they listen to these scriptures and they listen to the calling that you're calling for them to truly come to the kingdom of God. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Love you guys. Y'all can hit me up on Facebook for now. This website, of course, is the best way to get a hold of me. I do have my phone number here. If you're local in the area, I've been at Fisher Baptist Church for over a year now, helping them out until they find a pastor. Y'all come and join us. See me face to face. You got questions, please ask them. I always say I'm no hurry to come home. I'll stay at church all day and talk about the Word of God. I have no problem with that. It's one of my favorite topics. Love you guys. Y'all have a good night. Bye.